Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministry. Praise the Lord. We're talking tonight about, can the Lord flex his muscles in you and in your situation? We're going to talk about in Exodus chapter 14, when the children of Israel faced an impasse, and we're going to talk about what an impasse means. We're also going to talk about some things that I think will really help us as the body of Christ to come together and to be blessed. Amen. So we're going to start in Exodus chapter 14. And the Bible says, let's start in verse 10. Let's pray first. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I give you glory and I give you praise for the message that you laid on my heart tonight, Father. Lord God, I ask that you would be glorified in everything that's said and done. And God, that you would, God, bless the hearts of your people that are listening in. And God, that they will never be the same, but God, they will glean. And God, that they will receive from your spirit tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming from Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. And the Bible says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Let's talk about this a minute. The Bible said the children of the Israel, in verse 10, this scripture takes place when the Egyptians marched after the Israelites as they approached the Red Sea. Amen. The Bible says in verse 10, it says, when Pharaoh drew nigh or near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were very afraid. The children of Israel were at an impasse in this situation. And I asked the Lord, what is an impasse? Because he gave me that word. I really didn't remember what it meant. But in dictionary.com, it says, an impasse is a position or a situation from which there is seemingly no escape. It said no escape, but I like to say seemingly no escape because we know the Lord will always make a way to escape. In the natural, the children of Israel were approaching an impasse, an impossible situation. This word escape connotes danger or doom. It denotes danger or doom. That means that you're in a dangerous sometimes situation. There's no way out, no way of escape. That's an impasse. In another way to say it is, it does not look good. Many of you are either in today or will one day or were in the past in an impossible situation for which it looked like it was hopeless, and this message tonight is for you. Let's go to verse 11. What did the children of Israel say? And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? This is a very sad situation, not so much the situation, but the conditions of their hearts. They were full of unbelief and fear. They said, because there were no graves in Egypt, you want us to die out here in the wilderness. Let's look at verse 12. In verse 12, they said, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. They wanted to go back into bondage, the same place they were crying to God about to deliver them. They were talking about the hard taskmasters. They had to make bricks without clay. And now they want to go back into that because they faced a hopeless situation. Amen. That's verse 12. They said it would have been better for them to die, to serve the Egyptians, than to die in the wilderness. Look what Moses responded in verse 14. He said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord shall fight for you. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. So this is where God is getting ready to flex his muscles. That's where I got that message title from tonight. God is getting ready to flex his muscles in the children of Israel situation. And a lot of times when the situation seems hopeless and the devil is saying there's no way out, and we're going to talk about that tonight, I want you to know God is setting you up so he can flex his muscles and he can be glorified. And we're going to show you that in the word tonight. Verse 14 said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. that they go forward. Now, this really blessed me because my pastor's in the middle of a message series where he's talking about stepping forward. This is something that the Lord has dealt with him about. And it really confirmed something in my spirit that we were on one accord, because when he said that, the Lord had already gave me this message about the children of Israel and the Red Sea. So let's look at this, stepping forward. He says stepping forward right here in verse 15. It says that they may go forward. Amen. Verse 16, but the Lord said, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. This was a perfect example of God showing off his muscles. He did it with Job. He took the worst situation possible to brag on Job. God wants to brag on you and I, but he can't do it sometimes until he gets us in a situation that seems hopeless, that seems like there's no way out. He told Satan, which means adversary, he told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Let's go over to Job chapter 1, verse 8. And the Bible says in Job 1 and 8, well, let's start in verse 6. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth of evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear you for naught? Let's look at verse 8. The Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Amen. He said, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth of evil. After all the calamities that Job went through, we're going to go down to verse 20, but I want you to see that God was bragging on Job in this situation. He was bragging on Job. He said, have you considered him? There's none like him in the whole earth. Let's go on down to verse 20. I want to skip around a little bit because I get back to Exodus. But in verse 20, I want you to see that the Bible says that Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. The Bible says that Job worshipped. Amen. Now, you have to understand the depth of this situation that Job was in. The Bible says that he worshipped. This is why God could brag on Job, because he knew no matter what he allowed to happen in his life, Job was a worshiper. Job was going to worship him. Why did Job worship? Because things were going well? No. Job worshiped because his servants were killed. He lost all his livestock, his sheep, his camels, his wealth, his money was gone, his servants was gone, and all his children were taken away from him in one day. The Bible says before one could get through talking, another one came with some bad news. This was grief. Job lost everything in within a 24-hour period. But you know what? He learned. He worshiped God through his grief. He learned how to worship God through his grief. Let's read verse 21 and 22. And what did Job respond in verse chapter 1? He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, verse 21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there or thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So we see here that God could brag on Job, even in the worst possible situation, because Job was a worshiper, because he could trust him. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to get us to the point where he can trust us no matter what we're going through, that we're going to get closer to him, that we're going to become more of a worshiper, that we're going to become more of a praiser through everything, that we're going to begin to see God in a new way through the trials and the tribulations, that we're going to be able to stand. This is the whole purpose of a trial, and this is what we're trying to talk to you about tonight. Job didn't worship God because of the good things that he was doing. Job worshiped God because of the bad things that God allowed to come in his life, because he knew. He said, naked came I out of the womb, and naked shall I return. I came into this world with nothing, and I'm going to leave with nothing. He said, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 14, because I want to make another point in verse 15. In Exodus 14 and 15, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto to the children of Israel that they go forward. Amen. There goes that word again, go forward. But he said, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground through the midst of the sea. This in of itself is a miracle, because this was a sea that was being divided. The ground should have been like quicksand. It was so much water that was on the ground. But God not only was going to divide the waters, but he was going to let them walk over on dry ground. Amen. This was a miracle, saints. The Bible says in verse 18, and the Egyptians shall know. This is another verse that I really want to talk about tonight, about God flexing his muscles. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Amen. So the children of Israel were at an impasse. The Red Sea was in front of them, and the enemy was behind them. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore are you crying unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. This gets back into what my pastor is speaking on, stepping forward. In the natural, it seems impossible. What was in front of them? Nothing but the Red Sea. What was behind them? Nothing but destruction. The Egyptians who were seeking to destroy them was behind them. But what was in Moses' hand? Amen. Sometimes you have to use what God has given you in your hand. Amen. A lot of times we think our deliverance is going to come from somewhere else. No, God has given you everything that you need. What was in Moses' hand? The rod. Look at verse 16. He said, lift thou up the rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground. Verse 17, this is how God gets to flex his muscles. He said, behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow after, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. So when God says he's going to get honor, that means he's going to be glorified. That means he's going to flex his muscles, going to prove who he is. Amen. So he said, I'm going to get me honor, verse 17. And he said, I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. Verse 18, and the Egyptians, or the world, which is representative of the world, shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. The question I have for you tonight is, can God trust you enough to know he is going to get honor out of your test and out of your situation? Back over to verse 19. The Bible says the angel of the Lord went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So the pillar of the cloud that had been leading them, now it went behind them. Amen. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Now verse 25 is a very important verse. The Bible says, the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against us. If they had not trusted God's leader, the Israelites had not trusted God's leader, Moses, they would have never gotten the victory. That's a very important point. They would have been destroyed. God deals with his leaders about his people. That is why he told Peter, we're going to read over in John chapter 21, verse 16. I would like for you to turn there real quickly. In John chapter 21, verse 16, and the Bible says, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he said unto him again the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, thou me. Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, for thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. In other words, if you love me, you will feed my sheep. Peter was a leader. He was an apostle. Amen. So he was. Jesus here was not talking about natural food when he said, feed my sheep. He was trusting Peter to feed them spiritual food, to nourish their souls, and to build them up. The scripture says, and we're going to go over, so that I want you to understand, amen. I don't want to go too fast over this. But the Bible says that God is going to give them spiritual food or angels' food or manna from heaven. And one day I'm going to get a chance to teach you why I named this ministry Manna Teaching out of John chapter 6. Because the Bible says that I am the bread of life. And Jesus is the one that provides the food. Amen. But he said, if you love me, Peter, then you will feed my sheep. And he's talking about spiritual food. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and we're going to talk some more about leadership in the church. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, let's talk about this. He said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Not some, but some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the purpose of the fivefold ministry, which is the leadership gifts to the body of Christ, is for the perfecting of the saints. It's for you, amen, for the work of the ministry, amen, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ. Why is this important? The Bible says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. I preached a message last week about the unity, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, here again, God is dealing with me again about till we all come in the unity of the faith. The fivefold ministry is to bring the body of Christ into the unity of the faith. And if you want to know more about unity, you need to listen to that message from last week. But the Bible says, unto the knowledge of the Son of God. So we all have to come to the knowledge of the Son of God and who he is, unto a perfect man. What makes us perfect in the eyes of God? The knowledge of the Son of God, the unity of the faith. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So all in all, the Bible says the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The body of Christ is supposed to be full of Christ, amen, and nothing else. Till we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men or craftiness of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they light and wait to deceive. The devil is trying to deceive the children of God. And it works a lot of times. Why? Because the fivefold ministry is not in effect. Amen. The Bible says, if you love me, feed my sheep. We are to come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of God. Amen. Unto a perfect man. But the Bible says, speak the truth in love. The body of Christ is supposed to be speaking truth in love. And if you speak truth in love, the Bible says, you will grow up into him in all things. Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. That means everybody plays a part. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is very important because the Bible says every joint supplieth some portion, amen, the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, still again, every part, that means everybody has a part to play, making increase of the body of itself unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. The purpose of the spiritual leadership gifts, again, are to perfect the body. This is the church that I believe without a spot or a wrinkle, the church that's spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. The Bible says that God is coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle, that he is coming back for, and I believe that we are delaying the Lord's return by not functioning in the fivefold ministry the way we should. I believe the Lord, before the Lord returns, you will see all five of the leadership gifts in operation and the church edifying itself in love, being no more children tossed to and fro, but fitly joined together. So the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher are for the building up of the body of Christ. Another scripture says, he does nothing but he reveals it first to his prophet. Again, spiritual leaders. Back in Exodus chapter 14, we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 14 in our closing. But the Bible says, we read about how Moses stretched forth his hand over the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went through on dry ground. The Bible says in verse 29, the children of Israel walked upon dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel. That means escape. Remember I told you an impasse is an impossible situation to which there seems to be no escape. But the Bible says God will always make a way of escape. So in verse 30, the Lord saved Israel. That saved is another word for a life jacket. God is throwing us a life jacket with salvation. He saved us. He rescued us. Amen. He saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea. Sure. Remember Moses told them the Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more. Why? Because the Bible says as they continue to go after the children of Israel, God caused the waters to come in upon them and they drowned. The Bible says that Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore in verse 30. And Israel saw that great work that the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. So Israel saw, number one, they saw a great work that the Lord did upon the Egyptians. They began to fear God, amen, because at first they feared the Egyptians, but now they feared the Lord. And the Bible says this caused them to believe the Lord and his servant Moses. Sometimes God wants to flex his muscles in order for us to become more of a believer in the things of him, amen, and to begin to trust him and to believe in his servant and his leaders, because the people came against Moses at one point, but now they feared Moses. They believed in Moses. Why? Because God used Moses to flex his muscles. I want to tell you, let God flex his muscles in your situation. Don't let your situation define your relationship with God, but learn how to worship even when things are not going the way you think they should go or the way you want them to go. God bless you, and God bless you, and thank you for listening. I'm going to close out a little bit early tonight. We did a little bit less than 25 minutes, but I just go as the Lord leads me to go, and I try to, you know, speak what the Lord has given me to say, because manna, I just want to say this before I close, and in closing, manna means daily bread, and when God gives me a message, I want to share it right then. That's why sometimes I don't know ahead of time when I'm going to be preaching, and it may seem sporadic at times, but I'm being led by God in what I do, and I just want you to know, amen, this is a platform that I choose, amen, to use daily as the Lord will give me messages. And as God lays something upon my heart, I'm going to give it to you, and I know it's going to be a timely message, and I know it's going to minister to you, because the Holy Spirit is one spirit. Amen. So I just want to ask you, can God flex his muscles in you and in your situation? Think about that and chew on that until we come together again. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. This is Evangelist Amos signing off from Manna Teaching Ministry. Good night.